Community.com. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Are we here? Check, check. Yeah, we're there. All right, excellent. Hey, glad you're with us this morning. Thanks to the worship team. I know Scott was really inspired watching Crowder at LifeFest. So he was like, "All, can I play some sort of, you know, we'll steal the joke from them." Like, he talked about this guy who was their percussionist that had all these different things and told everyone he was playing the yard sale. That's what that was all about, all these different instruments, stuff you'd find out on your front lawn, sheet metal, things like that. It was pretty crazy. So anyway, inspiration right there from LifeFest. So if you're out there, hope you've had a great weekend and maybe God spoke to you in different ways this weekend. And glad you're all here with us this morning, whether online or here in person. So we have been in the series called Things God Loves. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been really honing in on a passage of scripture from Colossians. If you want to turn there, we're going to read through that one more time this morning. It's Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. And we're kind of picking our way through those because there's a number of things in this passage, things God loves in this passage that we've been focusing on. So it's been able to kind of revolve around this particular set of verses. So Colossians 3, 12 through 17 says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, and to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So we've talked about the first three things that Paul mentions in this list. First of all, he says, put on hearts of compassion. Compassion is having a deep sympathy and awareness of the needs and difficulties of others. We should be moved with compassion, as Jesus often was. And we should be motivated by compassion to do something about it. Right? So put on hearts of compassion. Then he says, put on kindness. Now, last week we talked about how biblical kindness, it's a complicated thing. Right? It involves many different aspects. It involves goodness and mercy and favor and love and excellence and uprightness. Kindness is something that is useful, that it helps where it can. And it's something that is good, that it avoids contributing to human harshness and works to alleviate suffering. Right? The idea of kindness, we often think of it as meaning be nice. But we're called to something much, much deeper in kindness than just being nice to people. Right? So that was the second thing on the list. Put on humility, Paul says. Now, humility we covered early on in this summer. Humility is this lowliness of human pride, right? Having a humble opinion of oneself, having a littleness of mind. We're called to humility. First of all, humility before God, because he's God and we're not. It's a good starting point for all of us, for everyone. We're called to a humility with others, putting other people first. We're also called to a humility of self. Right, seeing ourselves rightly, not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Okay, so put on hearts of compassion, kindness, humility. And it says, Paul says, we have to put these things on, right? Like clothing. That's the idea, the picture. They don't happen naturally. It requires effort. It requires action on our part. Now, sometimes it takes a direct effort, right? We actually have to try. We actually have to try or try harder to live out the characteristic in our life. But sometimes it just requires us to abide more fully in Christ so he can produce that fruit, that quality in us. Right? And I say just requires us as if that's an easy thing, but we are required, if we want to see this fruit develop in us, we abide more fully in Christ. Okay, so this is kind of where we've been over the last few weeks in regards to this passage. And now we come to the fourth thing on the list that Paul mentions. And the fourth thing is meekness. Meekness. Now the word here that we translate meekness is praoutes. Praoutes means meekness, mildness, or gentleness. Meekness, mildness, or gentleness. Pretty good description of what that word is about. English definition when we talk about meekness is a mild, moderate, humble, or submissive quality. Now I don't know about you, but when I hear the English concept of meekness, the idea of meekness here, it often gets, I think, messed up and misunderstood. Like a lot of people hear the word meekness and they get a picture of weakness. Right? At least they see those as having these qualities, mild, moderate, humble, submissive, as being weak. Meekness, and this is kind of our first, there's a number of different ideas around meekness this morning. First thing is this, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness seeks to express power with reserve and gentleness. Right? It's like power under control. Right? It's the ability to, say, get in a sports car that can go 180 miles an hour, but to drive the speed limit. Right? It's an amp that can turn up to 11, or I think like 35 on this one that we usually use, but to keep it at a low volume. Right? It's power, but it's under control. Well, Jesus was meek, but Jesus was not weak. Right? He was powerful. He was the most powerful being who ever walked the planet. Matthew 26, I want to, a number of passages we'll look at today, but Matthew 26, they'll be up on the screen. Might be a little too quick to try and jump around with me, but Matthew 26, 47 through 54. While he was still speaking, Jesus, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, "The one I will kiss is the man, seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back in its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" All right, now the story goes on, and we understand this is the arrest of Jesus, and he's crucified. But in this instance, here's Jesus being arrested. A man's ear is cut off, and he takes the time, and he heals it. And we find that out in another scripture passage, another gospel. But he says, "Do you not think that I can appeal to my Father, and he'll send 12 legions of angels or more?" 12 legions of angels. Now, a legion is a military term. I know this is a little roundabout, but follow me on this, right? A legion is a military term. Typically, we refer to a group of about 6,000 men. So Jesus says, "God the Father will send me 75,000 angels or more if I ask him to." As if, like, one wouldn't be enough in that moment, right? But God the Father will send me 75,000 plus angels if I ask him to, and they can put an end to all this. And the reality is that Jesus didn't even need the angels to do it. Right? He could have just spoken a word. But he allowed himself to be arrested and beaten and mocked and whipped and stripped and nailed to a cross and tortured to death. And the people nearby mocked him, right? Saying, look, you saved others. You can't even save yourself. Come down off the cross if you're really who you say you are. And he could have. He could have. Or from the cross, he could have just lashed out at any of them for what they were doing and wiped them off the face of the planet. He could lash out at any one of us because we're sinful too. And we don't deserve forgiveness. We don't deserve it. We haven't earned that. He could have shown a power that would have put the whole world in its place in that moment. But he didn't. Because of his love for us. And because of that love, he endured it all so that we would have eternal life. Jesus wasn't weak. But Jesus was meek. He expressed his power with reserve and gentleness. He showed a power and a strength that was controlled. And he entrusted everything that was happening to him into the hands of the Father. Even his very life, as he was being brutally killed on a cross, he trusted God. So meekness, not the same as weakness. Meekness is not weakness. Second thought is this: meekness is not the way of this world. Right? This is not the way this world operates. We live in a world where everyone's trying to get ahead and gain more for themselves. We live in a world where people are hungry for power. They're living for prestige. They are seeking advancement. And most often, those people will get ahead by questionable moral standards or ethical compromise. But they aggressively take over positions of prominence and influence. We see that all the time. The world does not operate in a way that values meekness. Jesus said this, Matthew 6, 19 through 21, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And Mark 8, 36, he says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but forfeit his soul? Right? So those who seek to gain the world by force are engaged in a futile effort. If we live for success or power or fortune or fame or wealth or any earthly glory, in the end, what will we really have accomplished? Right? Whatever we have stored up on earth will be lost. Someone else gets it. We can't take it with us. Our earthly treasures hold no value in eternity. And we're going to be exhausted from spending our life chasing after things that aren't going to last. And so here's what Jesus said in the Beatitudes, really simply, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Jesus says the ones who are truly blessed, who are truly well off in this world, are the meek. Those who live with gentleness, with mildness, keeping their power under control. Why? Because look, the earth is going to be given to them as inheritance. Now think about that. The thing that everyone else is trying to gain by taking over by force and aggressiveness and going after it and stepping on other people to get there and questionable means and methods. The thing that everyone's trying to gain, Jesus says, the meek are going to get it as a gift, right? As an inheritance, without even having to lift a finger. That makes the meek ones truly blessed. Right? So blessed are the meek, Jesus says. Put on meekness, Peter says. James has a thought too, by the way. James 3:13-16, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast, be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Right? The wise ones show meekness instead of bitterness and jealousy, selfishness, arrogance, and so on. Right? The bottom line is God loves meekness. And so today, I want us to consider a couple of things that should shape our lives according to Scripture in regards to meekness specifically. Okay, so there's four things, and before we wrap it up at the end. First thing is this, meekness. Meekness is how we are to share our faith. Right? In meekness, that's how we're to share our faith. 1 Peter 3:15-16, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness, that word there, praoutes, meekness. Do it with gentleness or meekness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. All right, so first off, we want to realize this. If we aren't actively trying to tell people about Jesus, then we really aren't following Christ. I mean, it's really that simple. He commanded his disciples, and by extension, us, to go and share the gospel, right? To make disciples, teaching them to obey everything he commanded, bringing them into association with him, sharing the gospel, evangelism, and teaching them to follow discipleship. So by definition, a follower of Christ is committed to helping other people come to know him and follow him. Right? Like we got that? Okay. So we're not called to weakness in that regard when it comes to sharing our faith. We're not called to shrink back or hold back or hold out or freak out in doing it. We're expected to share the hope of Jesus with the world around us. So we have to be on the lookout for opportunities, windows of opportunity to share Jesus with others. We have to take advantage when the moment presents itself. It should be our goal to share the gospel with others whenever possible. If we're not doing it, that would be considered weakness. Right? That is weakness. But the reality is that we aren't powerless to share the hope of the gospel with others. In fact, we're incredibly powerful when it comes to this. We are the sports car. Right? We are the amp turned up because of what God is doing in us. Romans 8:11 says, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Right? That same power dwells in you. Philippians 4:14 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So God has given you power, the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that's meant, though, to be used carelessly or recklessly. Now think of electrical power, right? Whenever something's properly wired and grounded, even huge amounts of electricity are safe and effective. Right? But when it's improperly controlled or harnessed, it can result in serious danger to those who come in contact with it. Now, there's probably a really good, serious analogy there that would just blow your minds if I shared it with you, but I don't know anything about electricity. So I don't have one, right? I don't understand all the intricacies of electricity, but I know that when it doesn't work, it's dangerous. When it's not properly controlled, it's dangerous. And when it is, right, it's under control, it's safe and effective. Now the point is, we're not supposed to just unleash on people dangerously to do it when they're unsuspecting and turn them into victims. Yes, we have the power of God working within us, we're supposed to use that power purposefully. We have to keep that under control for the right opportunity, the right moment. So there's a right way and a wrong way to go about it, right? Speak the truth. We're called to speak the truth, but we're supposed to do it in love. Right? They go hand in hand. We're called to share the gospel, like give an account, in gentleness, meekness, and respect. Right? So not just blasting people with it, but doing it. So we share with power, but we do it in a gentle way. We share the gospel in meekness. That's the first thing about meekness. The second thing is meekness is how we also should be challenging the sin of other believers. Okay, Galatians, I'll say that again. Meekness is how we challenge the sin of other believers. Galatians 6, 1 through 3. Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Right? Restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Restore her in a spirit of gentleness. Meekness or gentleness, that's how we can restore other believers back to Christ. Very seldomly does someone respond to our confrontational anger in a positive way. Right? But in meekness and humility, in a spirit of gentleness, we should seek to restore others to a right relationship with Jesus. And by the way, when we're in a place where we're wandering off, when we're not walking right with God, and someone seeks to do that, we should cooperate. Right? We shouldn't run from that. We shouldn't resist that. Right? God is trying to use someone to pull us back. So on our part, we want to do that with meekness. We want to help restore people back to Christ with meekness. But also, when we're wandering off, let's remember that it's God trying to win us back and bring us back to Him. Okay, so third thing, meekness is how we should receive the Word of God. Meekness is how we should receive the Word of God. James 1:21, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and, here's the part, receive with meekness the implanted Word which is able to save your souls. Right? Receive the Word with meekness. Why do we need to receive it with meekness? Well, because honestly, it's the opposite of stubborn resistance, right? One pastor wrote this. He said, meekness is a controlled strength that puts everything in the hands of God. It's founded on a trust of the Lord, and it always denies self. We see it grow alongside humility and wisdom in that it seeks another person's interest at the expense of its own, and it is pure, peaceable, gentle, and open to reason. Right, John Piper, talking about James 3:13 and 3:17. And here's sum that up. When we receive the Word of God in this spirit of weakness, it means we're open to learning what He has for us, rather than fighting against His will. Okay, so meekness is how we should receive the Word of God. Okay, and the last thing, meekness is how we should disciple others. It's how we should disciple others. 1 Thessalonians 2:7 and 8, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. And we read this passage, I always am drawn to the fact that we're supposed to share our lives with people, not just blast people with the gospel, but we share our very lives with them. But in terms of meekness here, we were gentle among you. This is Paul writing, like the Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament, who was instrumental in the early church in spreading the gospel throughout the world. Paul and the leaders in the early church were gentle and meek among the believers, the new converts, and among those who didn't know Jesus. They treated them like a nursing mother cares for her kids. Patiently, sacrificially, lovingly, and gently. Right? And gently. And we should do the same with other new and young believers. Right? Be patient as we help them grow in the knowledge of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I think we so often forget how long it's taken God to affect us in certain areas of our life, how long it's taken us to come along and mature in our faith, and then we see somebody else messing up and we think, what's wrong with them? Right? What's wrong with them? Why don't they get it? Oh, like we did? Right? Years and years later. Right? So we have to be patient. We have to be meek in discipling others as well. Show meekness in our efforts to disciple others. Okay, so those are the four things. Now, just a couple of other thoughts as we close. We've heard this about some of the other qualities we've been talking about, things God loves. Meekness is a fruit of the Spirit. Meekness is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control. Right now, you know, this might feel like a little bit of a broken record, and I'm making the point again, but once again, it's important to realize that the fruit that should be evident in God's people is produced by the Holy Spirit's work in us. And He does that work as we abide and remain and draw near to Him. Like, it's His job to produce this in us, but it's our part, it's on us to pursue Him, to abide in Him and to remain in Him. So this area of meekness is no exception. It's something we can work hard at, but the fruit that's really going to result, and God's really going to produce meekness in us when we draw near to Him. So if we can just wrap it up with this one big idea to pull away on meekness. Pursue meekness by abiding in Jesus. Right? Pursue meekness by abiding in Jesus. 1 Timothy 6:11 through 12. But as for you, O man of God, and that refers to women as well, right? Men and women of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Meekness is something we are supposed to pursue. Right? We're supposed to chase after it. The idea of pursuit is like chasing after it like a hunter chases an animal. Right? That's the word picture of this word pursue. Meekness, though, is also a fruit of the Spirit, which means if we're going to pursue it, the best way to pursue it is when we seek to abide more fully in Jesus. Right? Pursue meekness by abiding in Jesus. Those words, that scripture passage that we just read, were Paul's words to Timothy. Right? A follower of Jesus, a mature believer, a leader in the church, a pillar of faith, and Paul felt compelled to remind him of this. Right? Pursue gentleness. It was written to him, pursue gentleness, pursue meekness. But while it was written by Paul for Timothy, it was also written by God for us. It's His word. He wants us to hear this too. Pursue meekness. But we do that by abiding in Christ. In the meekness of wisdom, let's put our trust fully in Him. Right? Let's put our trust fully in the hands of God, no matter the circumstances, no matter the situation. Pursue meekness by abiding in Christ. We're going to pray and close with a few more songs this morning of worship if the team wants to come up. Father God, meekness is maybe not something that is easy for us. We all have different personalities, and maybe for some, it's easy not to step out and use power or force. that there is a spirit of gentleness, a spirit of meekness that is in them. But I know for others of us here this morning, and I'll be the first to raise my hand for that, it's way easier to just go for it, to bowl forward straight ahead and not be thinking of the gentleness, the meekness that you are calling us to. Whether that's in an interaction with a child or a friend or a coworker or a neighbor, someone that bothers us, someone that ticks us off in a moment. And it's so easy to just unleash. It's not what you did. And the things that we are often bothered by or troubled by are insignificant compared to what you went through on the cross. And you did it on our account. You did it for us. You took on all of that with meekness, with gentleness, because of your great love for us. We are grateful for it. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us to display this meekness, that you would produce it in us as we abide more fully, more closely, drawing near to you. Father, speak to us, grow us in this area. Help us to pursue it by abiding in you. So that when it comes to sharing our faith, when it comes to building up others, when it comes to helping someone be restored back into a right relationship with you, when it comes to receiving your word, that we would do it in a way that puts all of our trust, all of our faith in you. So we don't need to lash out. We don't need to be arrogant. We don't need to be forceful. But we can respond in a spirit of meekness that you're growing in us. And Lord, you know where each person's heart is at this morning in this issue. You know where maybe... maybe we think we're being meek, but we're actually being weak and need to be challenged to step out more fully. But you also know where we need to rein it back. And I pray that you would reveal that to us and speak to us in that regards. And move us forward, growing this fruit in us, again, as we abide and remain in you. Help us to trust in all things, in every circumstance, in every thing that we are going through, and to allow you to have your way, to allow you to be the one who is in control, to recognize that and to trust you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.